All right. Yeah, great. Go team. Exactly right. So good. Hey, but you know what? There's nothing like being with a bunch of kids. And I'm talking an arena full, 17,000. Not 1,700. 17,000 teenagers in an arena in Birmingham, Alabama on what day is it? Oh my gosh. Thursday until 10 o'clock at night, all day Friday until 10 o'clock at night, and then again tomorrow morning. And there is nothing like the power of watching teenagers actually being challenged. I came home and I got ministered to. I'm gonna tell you what, they don't candy coat anything. Our youth need truth. Do you hear me? Youth need truth in love. And they received it, and I'm not saying that they received it as in it was given to them. I'm telling you, they received it. And so there's power in that. And I'm going to tell you, if you get on my Facebook page, friend me on Facebook, Stephanie Ferris. I look just like this on Facebook, really do. I posted a bunch of things. There's a video on there that I'm telling you, there was a 30-second time span. Maybe I caught 30 seconds of it because it was such a holy moment. I had to grab my phone and pull it out. The arena was silent. How does that happen? 17,000 teenagers. It was silent because they were having a moment with the Lord. You could hear a pin drop. You can actually, if you click in and you listen to the video, you can hear a baby start to cry in an arena of 17,000 kids. And in that moment, those kids stepped forward and they basically wrote down what the Lord was telling them, how he had moved in their hearts. And then one by one, all of a sudden, they start standing up and they stand up and they declare, "Send me. Send me," and you start hearing these shouts of "send me, send me, send me" across the arena. And all of a sudden, 17,000 kids are standing up with a promise of God in their heart, written out in their hand, and they're declaring it, that that's what they're going to go do. So can you give a hand to all of our high school students? And then I want to give yourself a high five if you supported those high students. Self high fives are very simple. You put one hand in the air, give the next five. There you go. I want to invite all of you to support these kids. This is a generation that is unstoppable. If we will choose to speak life over them, the world wants to speak death. And our prayers need to be so filled with life for them that what is in them will be fanned into flame. And will pour out with righteousness, not self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God across our country and around the world. So give them one, and give Sergio and Destiny a hand as well. So again, I want you to put that slide up for 21 Days of Prayer. We're not kidding when we talk about prayer. This is a prayer message today, which is very easy for me in the sense that I love prayer, and it's a connection with the Lord. And so Pastor Nathan wanted us to have a message before we started 21 Days of Prayer to just bring some teaching back around prayer. And we know what prayer is, but sometimes we just don't practice it. And sometimes we need to know the why behind it. So we want to invite you to 21 Days of Prayer. And this is twofold. It's a personal thing, right? Because we all have prayer. We all have a need for prayer. We all need to be with the Lord asking for the things. Like we don't even have to pound down the doors of heaven. We're invited in to share our hearts. So there's personal things that we need to share, but there's also corporate. And there is power in corporate prayer. There is just a power that if you've never felt it before, I invite you into it. And so what's going to happen is on this 21 days of prayer, we invite you to pray as a church, both individually, but then coming together as a church. And on 21 days of prayer, when you scan that QR code or you click that little dot in front of you, it's going to take you to a screen. You're going to click in, and you're going to actually put your phone number in there. You're going to put your stuff in there, and you're going to get a message. You're going to choose either 6 in the morning or 6 p.m. at night. And what's going to start happening when we start, you're going to receive a message from Pastor Nathan. It's a corporate message. And now, instead of one person praying, we've got a mass of people praying in the same thing. And there's a collectiveness about that. If it's a sweet scent for the Lord to hear my prayers, can you imagine what it is to hear to smell a bonfire full of prayers? Does that make sense? Each of us have a part to play. So I want to invite you to be a part of this and watch just the explosion happen within your very own hearts. Let's get started today, because I just want to, we're going to move through this quick. I have lots of points. The joke was this morning, Scott's like, are you ready for a message? I go, oh, I'm ready for it. I said, I'm going to have to watch the clock. I'll probably talk all day, but it's all good. So, but I also have a van to return today. So my day is not done, and I have youth tonight. So y'all just come join me, right? Look at this. Prayer is not a religious duty. And if you like Nacho Libre, you can say it, religious duties, okay? But a relational connection. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we literally don't understand, like, the why behind things. And so Pastor Nathan has been teaching us about those disciplines, and you had a list, and I've even been going over those with the staff. Like, what are we, there are certain things, like, what do I need to be more committed to? What do I need to fine-tune? So there's always something we have to fine-tune. If you think you are it, man, maybe I'll follow you around and watch how you work. Because we're not. There's always something we can be fine-tuning in our lives. And prayer is definitely one of them, but I get a sense that sometimes we forget what prayer is, because we forget that prayer is, it's actually communication with God, and it's communing with God. It's actually communing with Him. It's being with Him. Taking the time to be with God. Imagine it to be a conversation, and it's a conversation with a purpose. And you have conversations with purposes all the time. Actually, what's very interesting, I'm hearing it even in my own heart, like the Lord's like, you despise conversations without purpose. And I'm like, oh gosh, you're right. I wonder if the Lord thinks the same thing. I don't think He despises it. That's a word we couldn't use hate in our house. So I taught the kids, you could say despise, but you couldn't use hate, right? Strongly dislike something is one thing. And I think, what does that look like? And the Lord has designed us for communication. We're designed to be in community. You hear it all the time. It's part of our four pillars. When we introduce that freedom piece of it, the freedom piece is actually, hey, we want you to be in community. Because what happens in community is you are communing with people and you're communicating with people. And they begin to know who you are. Well, we serve a God that's actually it went backwards. Move it to the next slide. We may have technical difficulties. There it is. We have a triune God. So we serve this God who has this beautiful example of community already set up for us. It's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. And so He's already showing us it's all about communication. All about communication. I have a couple scriptures to back that up with. I'm not sure if they actually put our scriptures on. There we go. I'm just going to give you some of these. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Can you imagine Father God saying that to you? He will if you spend some time with Him. You can hear that voice too. You're designed to hear His voice. My sheep hear my voice. Next one. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. This is out of John 12:49. This is Jesus speaking. He's basically telling the disciples. He's telling His followers, hey, I have a God that talks to me. I have a dad that talks to me. This is how I receive my information. Luke 4:1 tells us this, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is a piece of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is actually drawing Jesus. It's like, come here, Jesus. Come on, we're going to go for a walk. I need to take you into the wilderness. There's communication going on. So you're seeing that the three are talking, and this is one of my absolute favorites. 1 Corinthians 2:10. I love this verse. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is the absolute best search engine you could ever tap into. Google is crushed by it. ChatGPT, crushed by it. But the Holy Spirit has the answers. He has the answers. But we have to have access. We have to understand that we have access. You know, Jesus, the perfect illustration to this is, you realize Jesus walked the face of the earth as a man. He put down his deity. He put down his deity because he knew that you and I needed an example of how to live out an earthly life in communion, in communication with a heavenly Father, fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. You don't get power without communication. You hear what I'm saying to you? Jesus, we have to look at what's going on in the Bible. We have to understand he walked as a man. He gave us an example of what it would look like for us to walk in communion with God and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But what's crazy is these disciples that he was walking out life with and he had gathered around him and he was teaching, you realize these disciples, they saw the miracles. They saw the deliverances. They listened to the teaching. You know, the only question they ever asked Jesus really about in the space of learning something was this. Go ahead and click into my next slide. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They knew that this was the secret sauce. They knew that there was something that came out of the connection and the time alone, and the time in the quiet, and the time with his Abba Papa. There was a power that came in. There was a resolute, just power that came in him, into him, and a peace and a confidence that only comes out of knowing who your Father in heaven is. And knowing that you know his voice and that the mission that he's asked you to walk out for that day or that moment, that you're so secure in the voice. Your confidence is in him. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the disciples recognized it. They figured it out. They're like, teach us how to play. Teach us how to pray. Pray and play, right? There we go. Maybe I'll take another sip of coffee. You know, this is my first cup of coffee today. All right. I had so much caffeine yesterday. I think I had 5 cups of coffee, and I did have 2 or 3 water bottles, and then I had a really good, what are those, double shot coffees from the, you know, every gas station has them. It's got the vitamin in it, all that. Did that, had a Diet Coke on top of that, and then a Celsius on top of that. So I'm saying, hey, you try it. And I'm not talking about the caffeine. You try driving with all those kids. It was amazing. Hey, let's go back to connecting, though, and think about conversation. There's something I want to tell you that we've got to understand. I'm going to go to my next slide, even though I'm going to talk before it. Your salvation is actually the wedding, and prayer is the marriage. Your salvation is the wedding, and your prayer is the marriage. Think about it. If you're married, what would it be like if you just did a drive-by 30-second conversation over dinner? I'm just saying. What would that look like? I got married. I'm committed. I did the thing. But now I'm only going to talk to you when it's convenient for me and I need something from you. Just going to do the drive-by. And if I don't do the drive-by, maybe I'll do a little, like, corporate thing on a Sunday and maybe sing you a song or whatever. I'm just being raw and honest. You know, I came from a youth conference where they spoke so much truth. You could have walked out beat up, but instead you walked out absolutely empowered by knowing what you needed to walk in. And so we've got this picture of in our head, we think, well, what does that look like? I'm telling you that this prayer piece is the marriage part of your relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm married, and I still find things out about my husband. Right? We'll celebrate 34 years this year. 34 years. Yeah. Woo! Or were they easy? Absolutely not. They're still not easy. We're human. We are so human. And as humans, we need to be in communication. And you know, when you get married, you don't know everything about your husband or your wife. You don't know everything. And one of the things as a pastor, we're pastoring people, that first year of marriage is hard. It is hard. And nobody can tell you that it's hard before you get married because they'll say it and you don't believe it because you're in love. And love is a great thing until the walls come crashing down and until it gets hard or until you get tired and hungry. You become a different person. It's the bridezilla, right? Right? It can be that. And so we have to cultivate this thing. And so this marriage illustration is important for you to grasp because here's the thing. We don't know everything about God. Here's a verse for you to digest. I need some help with the verses. There we go. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways. Your ways are not my ways. This is God, declares the Lord. If my thoughts are not like his thoughts, the place of prayer begins to unpack who he is. He knows who I am. He created me. He knows everything about me. He knows my past. He knows my present. He knows my future. He knows everything. He knows my attitudes of the heart. He knows my trauma. He knows my pain. He knows my joys. And so what happens in prayer is we've got to connect to a God. And I'm going to just give you, this is like, we call them cookies on the shelf. And so I'm not going to preach to you, but I'm going to teach you some things. I want you to connect the dots. It's really, really important. How many of you have tried to change a habit? Yes, I have too. How many of you have tried to change like nutrition habits or exercise habits and things? Okay, yes. I say that because that is important for me. I have my parents passed early. I say early. I was kind of a child that came in. I was the surprise child of the family. I was the blessed surprise, right? And in that blessed surprise, I grew up. And really, my parents, I don't think they were that old. But at age 24, I lost my mom, and she was 57. That's young. That's young. I'm 58. That's young. All right. And then 3 years later, I lost my dad, and he was 64. And so looking at their family history and all those things, what I began to do is I'm like, I want to live longer than that. I want to persevere in life. Like, what do I need to do? And so I did I did blood work for some things. We had breast cancer that ran through our family. You're looking at a woman who has a 42% chance of breast cancer. 42%. I found that out in my 30s. And I did the BRCA gene. I don't have the BRCA gene, so I've done all the testing, done all the things. And the one thing I can do is I can change my diet and I can change my exercise. And so for me, I needed some knowledge behind something. I needed to know why I needed to do something. I know that cancer feeds on sugar. So guess what I really tried to cut out of my life? Sugar, I love you, but you're going to have to go find somebody else. And so I had to make decisions. And so what I'm trying to tell you is many times for us to change a habit, we have to make an educated decision. And so today I want to give you some education behind why you're going to want to pray and change a habit. Because our habits are what really, it's the formation of what comes out of our lives then as a routine. And so you can look at prayer as a discipline. I just look at it as another new habit to put in my life that actually brings me life. And so I want this abundant life. And so we're going to talk about how you're going to, we're going to talk three things real quick about the whys, all right? We learn as we connect. Come on. There we go. We learn as we connect. We need to learn about who he is. When I came to Christ as a teenager, I didn't know who God was, but I knew I needed him. I had a salvation moment because I needed to be cleaned. There was shame on my life. There was pain in my life. And there was an emptiness that I was desperate to have filled. And when I met Jesus as a kid, that was one experience. That was the wedding. But I had to learn who this God was for me. I had to learn who Jesus was. And when we do this, when we pray and we get in this habit, we actually learn about him. And so we learn as we connect. This is what Moses learned. It's all throughout Scripture. Here's prayer is the place where God reveals who he is and we begin to truly know him. Let's look at this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. How many of you want to speak to the Lord face to face as if he's a friend? Yes. Yes and amen is right. Yes and amen. He's a safe place. You know, as a child, I needed to learn that God was safe. Some of you may have had a horrible experience with a father in your life, an earthly father, and you need to learn that your heavenly father is safe. And you'll do that in the context of prayer when you spend time with him. I love this thing when it works, and I despise it when it doesn't work. Did you notice I did not use the word hate? All right. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. This is Moses. David in the Psalms, show me your ways. Show me your ways, Lord, because I don't know your ways. You come to prayer, you got to understand, you don't know everything about the living God. We have to learn how kingdom works, how kingdom thinks. We have been so saturated by the world. Saturated by it, that we take on the thinking of the world and we are not of this world. We have to be retrained. And in prayer, we meet a God who retrains us. David knew it. He said, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. They stand true. They don't change. How many of us need an unchanging world? I want to stand on something solid because the world's in a whirlwind. But if I can stand on the truth, then I stand strong. Let's look at this. Jeremiah. This is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. You know, as a young adult who had lost both their parents, was newly married, having kids, I didn't realize all the, that those are all like life-changing moments. And they talk about the stress that can come on you when you have several life-changing moments in a row. I didn't realize that, of course, until 10, 15 years after that. You know, you lose a parent, you lose another parent, you get married, you have children. These are all life-changing moments. I can't tell you how much I wanted to be able to pick up a phone and call my parents, but I didn't have one. I felt like an orphan, trying to figure it out. But I had a heavenly father who had every answer. Every answer. And this is when we lean into this. And the Lord's telling Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. It's in this place of prayer that we find out who he is. And obviously, we find out who we are not. Right? It's so good. All right, I'm going to skip ahead, and we're going to go to point number two, if you can put that up for me. We change. Here's the thing. Prayer doesn't change things. It actually changes us. It changes us. You know that when I go into the presence of God, I have to come out changed. And if you come into the presence to God with a list, a to-do list, and you're coming in with the wrong purposes, you'll walk out the same if you came in with a laundry list and you just went through your laundry list. But if you come in with a heart that wants to know the Father's heart towards what's going on in your life, you'll come out changed. It changes us. And so in this, Jesus is in the garden, and even Jesus illustrates this for us. Jesus is in the garden. He says, not my will, but your will. How many of you have gone into prayer, and you go into prayer self-righteous, and I want it my way, and they owe me an apology, and da 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 da. But if we're truly in the presence of God, there's going to be a peace that comes into that space that all of a sudden begins to dismantle that stronghold of bitterness. Do you remember Pastor Nathan saying last week, which I thought was hilarious? You guys don't know it, but when I leave from transition, if I do transition up here, I'm on point right back there. So I'm interceding. I'm listening to the message. I'm watching over you from the backside praying for you. And in that message, I just thought it was funny because he's like, try having an argument with your wife and turning worship music on and singing holy, holy, holy and still being angry. You see the difference? The two are incompatible because when we are singing praises and glory to a holy God, all of a sudden something changes in us. And until we walk like Jesus and think like Jesus, we need to be changed into Jesus. We need to keep stepping back into that presence, stepping back into that place. It's really, really important. So again, prayer doesn't change things. It changes us. So Jesus models transformation in prayer. He actually models surrender and alignment with the Father's will, with his will, not our will. Another great verse, Paul is talking, and he's in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. This is a glory-to-glory moment. You know, Hannah was in the temple, and she went in, and she was a mess. Whoa, she goes from bitter weeping to worship after pouring out her soul for the Lord. We have to understand what happens in the context of prayer, bringing it into prayer, what that looks like. Isaiah 6:5-8, woe to me, I am ruined. Here I am, send me. Oh my gosh. Isaiah figures out, I am unclean before you, Lord. You are a holy God. Something happens in us in those moments. So he's transformed. The prophet Isaiah is transformed as he's praying. Another point I want to make is we grow. That's what happens. We get in this thing and we get in this prayer and we grow. The more we pray, the more we mature. Our faith deepens, our trust expands, and our roots go deeper. May, I need you to skip to Luke 5:16. Should be two slides on. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Your quiet time is so key. Those quiet moments with the Lord where your spirit is settled and calm, where you can actually hear his voice, you have to be intentional. In the space of chaos, he wants you to put the pause button on because he has exactly what you're waiting for, and it's the peace. How many of you want the peace of God in your life? Amen. Look at all those hands up. It's something that we hunger and thirst for because once you've walked in the peace, you don't want to ever give up the peace. There's a pastor that said this, and I say it all the time. If you've lost your peace, you actually need to repent your way back to it because you gave it away somewhere. You gave it away somewhere, and we don't want to give that away. Next, I got three quick points for you. We're going to jump ahead. You need to be intentional. It sounds like a religious duty, and it's not. It's a relationship. When you dated your spouse, you took time. You even got all prettied up to spend time with them. And you make time. You pause in your day and you make time to connect. This is a time of connection. Again, salvation is the wedding and prayer is the marriage part of it. As you get to know this living God. So be intentional. Lord, teach us to pray. Again, the disciples were very intentional. They're like, I need that. I need that. I need what you have. How did you get that? I see you going in the secret. Is that where you got that? Is that where you get your peace from? I'm going to tell you, there's I had some chaos happen, as all things do. Everybody, you know, pastors are not immune to chaos. We're not immune to pain. We're not immune to trauma. We had a major family event come up last week. And you know, I never once got anxiety over it. As I reached out, I had a kid put in the hospital. As I called one of my other children and talked to them to tell them what was going on, he goes, "What do you think, Mom?" And you know what he was asking me, really? How are you processing this with Jesus? And with the calmness of knowing who my heavenly Father is and who my daughter is in that hospital, I started proclaiming who she was, and I started directing my family to start declaring who she was. Don't beg Jesus to heal her. Declare her healing. Declare his goodness. His kindness. But you don't know that until you get to the conversations with him and you understand who he is. Point number two, we've got to be transparent with him. We've got to be transparent with this God. You know, he knows everything about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Transparency includes laying down your burdens, your fears, and your worries with full confidence in God's care. I can tell you, I can pray with confidence. But confidence comes from being in the secret place with him and knowing who he is. As a heavenly Father. Our last point I want you to catch is we pray from a position of sonship. This, I could preach on this for a long time, but I know you guys will want lunch. This is key in knowing how to pray. You have to know who you are. You realize you and I don't have to pray as beggars. We're not orphans. We're redeemed. We are sons and daughters of a living God. We have an inheritance, and we just need to ask the Lord to open up the gates of heaven for it. We have access to everything. You have the Holy Spirit that will search all the things of God. You have full access to Him. But it takes you pausing and getting into the presence. This is an incredible thing. You need to know that Hebrews says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Galatians 4, 6, 7, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and He's already calling out. He's already calling out. He is your direct connect. He is your direct connect all the time. He says, you are no longer a slave, but you are a child of God. So I just want to finish this message with a list for you. Keep going. Intimacy is what we're seeking, not information. Transformation, not transaction. It's not a transactional thing. Presence, not performance. He's not looking for your performance. He doesn't want to see your checklist. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He's looking for a relationship. He crushed religion. He's done with it. He doesn't want it. He wants you to know that you have access and that there's no anxiety in it. He wants you to surrender and not strive. He wants you to listen and not list. And He wants depth and not duty out of you. 21 days of prayer is actually an invitation for you to really dig into this marriage with the Lord. Your journey is going to look different than the one of the person sitting next to you. All of our prayer journeys are different, and that's okay, as they should be. Every marriage in the room looks different. Friendships look different, don't they? Because they're intimate experiences. And this is this God that wants to meet you in 21 days of prayer. And as you form those habits with 21 days of prayer, He wants to meet you every day for the rest of your life. Because He has a plan for you. And until you begin to hear His voice and understand that plan, you'll be off track. Well, one of the things we get to do as followers of Christ, we also get to bless. Isn't that amazing? So the words from our mouth are either life or death. And as a spiritual being, we get to bless people. And prayer is a part of that. And I'm going to tell you, we have a team member that's going to be, this is her last day with us today. And so Miss Yvette doesn't want to be on platform. She doesn't even want her name spoken. She does not want that. But she has served this house for many years in our tech booth in the back. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to bless her. Because what she's got is she's got a bunch of grandkids. And she's got chicken coops. And the girl loves Buc-ee's. She also loves her M&M's, if you want to spoil her. But she also loves Jesus and loves to serve the local church. So if you could just even turn around, put a hand out towards her. And we're going to choose right now. Yvette, we just bless you. We bless your coming and your going. We bless every gift on your life. We thank you for your loyal service to the house. We thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. And so, Lord, bless her and keep her family. And may she have such a fruit-filled life with all those chickens and all those kids and all the fun. But, Lord, bless her. Let her know that her service is just, we just want to honor it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hey, I want to invite you to get personal with Jesus in your prayer time. Hear His voice. It's one of the most beautiful things. because your life, I promise, will be richer for it. Yeah. Bless you.